Hello and welcome to our latest Minute with Mike. I'm Erin Whitney, Director of the Arctic Energy Office, and I have Mike McElhaney, our Senior Advisor, with us here today. Today, it seems apropos to talk about President Jimmy Carter, who recently passed, with respect to his impact on the Arctic and Alaska. Mike, could you give us a little bit of perspective on President Carter's impact on the Arctic and Alaska?
Thank you, Aaron. Yes, I'd be happy to. Jimmy Carter's impact on the Arctic and Alaska is kind of little noted these days, but it's fairly large. And as Naval Academy, President Carter was assigned to the Naval Reactor Program. And his last assignment before leaving to take over his family's farm was as the prospective engineering officer for the USS Seawolf, the United States and the world's second nuclear submarine. Can't go into a lot of details, but as engineering officer, President Carter would have been very active in taking information on a proposed Arctic operations, which of course were brand new at the time. The USS Nautilus, the first nuclear submarine, was the first vessel ever to reach the pole, underwater or above water for that matter at the time. And he was preparing his ship that he was assigned to the construction of for some very detailed and specific Arctic operations. So we think of Jimmy Carter as the diplomat, as the leader, but he was also involved in understanding the then little known hydrography, currents, and impact on vessels operating the Arctic when he was assigned to this ship. And I really feel if he had continued his naval career, I think he would have accomplished many Arctic developments on his own, but in a different capacity. But as president, President Carter really is known for two major events in the history of Alaska. The first, the TAPS, the Trans-Alaska Pipeline System, which carries oil from the North Slope to for export in southern Alaska, actually delivered its first loads of fuel and was completed in 1977, in the summer of 1977, immediately after he was sworn in. And the United States faced various energy crises in the 1970s. So Alaska oil was considered then and now a key enabler of ending dependence on foreign oil and mitigating what seemed at the time to be sky-high gasoline prices. So definitely a milestone in his administration and the history of Alaska. But President Carter's main impact on Alaska was his signature of the Alaska National Interest Lands Conservation Act, or ANILCA, in December 1980, a month after his defeat by President Reagan, and a month before the end of his term. ANILCA is a absolutely comprehensive law that really established the template for how ANCSA, the Alaska Native Claims Settlement Act, would be carried out in Alaska and guaranteeing the establishment or expansion of all of the national, almost all of the national parks, monuments, and reserves in Alaska. Is a huge bill that was controversial at the time, both in Alaska and in parts of the rest of the country, as a comprehensive lands act. But really set the terms for how Alaska land claims would be handled, how Alaska lands would be managed, and how the interest of Alaskans would be considered in the management and disposition of federal lands. So the analogy I like to use is ANCSA is if you think of Alaska lands as a particularly important game of Monopoly, ANCSA is the rule book and ANILCA is the game board, and you can't have one without the other. So ANILCA was a huge bill, and it also includes the subsistence provisions of federal law in Alaska, guaranteeing the right of Alaskans to access their own food to maintain themselves and their family on public lands. A truly unique law, and one that guaranteed the Alaska way of life for residents to hunt and collect their own food. So just an absolutely enormous bill, one that many people thought would never get passed, and he managed to accomplish it in the waning days of his presidency in 1980. So when you think ANCSA, which was signed by President Nixon, Thank ANILCA, which was signed by President Carter as well.
Thanks, Mike. That's fascinating. And as a resident of Alaska, I can attest to the benefits of those pieces of legislation in terms of the national parks we have in our state. I've visited many of them and have also benefited from some of those subsistence privileges in terms of harvesting wild game off of our lands as a resident. So, truly some seminal history there made by Jimmy Carter. And I appreciated the naval history as well. So of course, we always like to end with a fun factoid, usually culinary based. And since Jimmy Carter was from Georgia, what can you tell us about what you might know, Mike, about Jimmy Carter's favorite food in Georgia, or perhaps your favorite food in Georgia, or just a favorite food in Georgia?
You know, Aaron, I don't know Jimmy Carter's favorite food, but I know he was a peanut farmer, and peanut farming is vitally important to the people of Georgia. It would not surprise me if he would recommend we all get our daily serving of Georgia salted peanuts or boiled peanuts and enjoy them with every meal. However, my family, if asked, would probably want to name Chick-fil-A, which is a compelling interest for them. Absolutely delicious chicken, and very good food. But my personal favorite, and the one I consume every day and would consume more of if I could, Georgia is the home of Coca-Cola and its signature product, Diet Coke, which keeps the government running, keeps me running, and I will have as soon as this interview is over.
Thank you. And this should not be heard as an endorsement of Coca-Cola, but we will salute Coke, peanuts, and Chick-fil-A. Thank you, Mike. We appreciate your time.
Thank you.